Welcome to another inspirational message from the traditional service at Bethany Assembly of God in Agawam, Massachusetts. It's our prayer that this message from Pastor Richard Adams will encourage and bless you.
This is my last sermon on the prophetic, and I think it's so important because it's the time that we're living in. If you study anything about Israel, Israel went through a very moral and spiritual decline with Jezebel. Now, if you remember, Jezebel was from, she was a Phoenician. Her father was Ethbaal. In other words, they worshiped Baal, and he was named after this particular deity. And they were notorious for several things, sexual immorality in their worship. They were notorious for children being sacrificed, killing of babies. And so this kind of religion and worship overtook Israel, and they were in a moral decline. And the prophet Elijah was needed in this very turbulent time in the history of Israel. You remember Ahab, the king. Now, he was Jewish, of course, but Jezebel wasn't. She brought in all of her prophets from Baal, and her son Ahaziah and Joram, they all led people away from God. And when you compare the moral and spiritual decline that's happening in America, you look at what's happening here, you come to realize the only way that this can be reversed is through a miraculous intervention of the prophetic spirit of Elijah. That's the only way it's going to happen. It's because this was such a moral decline in Israel, and we're seeing the same focus that's happening not just in America, but in the Western world and in the world in general. In the moral and spiritual descent of America, is really troubles me, and I know it troubles us as a church. And God will always use the prophetic to bring people back to God. And God has promised us a prophetic ending. He's promised that that's what's going to happen. He's going to pour out His Spirit. And what happens when He pours out His Spirit, people who are filled with His Spirit are going to speak boldly. They're going to openly display the power of the kingdom of God by speaking through the word that the Spirit gives them. They're going to be able to pour out of the Spirit, and people will hear God speaking to them through the power of His Spirit. We must, as Christians, resist the temptation to be silent. There is a temptation for us to be silent and not say anything. We have to resist that temptation. We cannot linger in indecision or waver, but we must choose whom we will serve. We must in this hour. It's always been God's plan for His will for heaven to come to the earth. He promised that that would happen, that heaven would come to the earth. Jesus taught His disciples that that's how they should pray, that the will of God will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. And where the Spirit is, wherever the Holy Spirit is, He brings heaven with Him. That includes the gifts, that includes the ministries, that includes the power. And like the Apostle Paul reminds us, it also is love. We need to pursue love. Love one another. And desire spiritual gifts. And Paul especially mentions that we might prophesy. He makes a special mention of prophecy, not just the gifts and the power and the love and everything, but he especially mentions prophecy, where we speak the mysteries of God. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so we need to be able to speak that. And the writers of scriptures, they were recording revelation from God. We receive revelation from God through the Holy Spirit. And we know that God is directing history towards one central purpose. And eventually, He's going to establish the kingdom of God upon the earth. He's going to establish it first in these earthen vessels. He establishes the kingdom by coming into our hearts. In the Old Testament, sometimes people didn't want to hear God. They didn't even want God to speak to them. In Deuteronomy 18 and 15, the Lord your God will raise up for you prophets like me. This is Moses speaking. He says, for this is what you ask of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, let us not hear the voice of the Lord. We don't want to hear your voice, Lord. or God nor see the great fire anymore, or we will die. You speak to us through the prophet. Speak to us through the prophetic. How many of those, a lot of people, they don't want to hear God anymore? God's going to speak through the prophetic. In the Old Testament, God guides his people through the prophetic and through the prophets. And when his people gathered together and worshiped, God gave them a design for worship. He instructed them through Moses, through the prophets, about worship. But eventually, worship became ceremonial. It became a ritual. The emphasis focused on the external, upon the sacrificial system, until it became a business of the temple. So what happens? God raises up a prophet, and the prophet comes and he says, obedience is better than sacrifice. And then another prophet comes and he turns the temple tables over. And it reveals that this is not something that's outward. It's something that's inward. It's a heart issue. We need to have this heart for God. At the end of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 through 6 says, see, I will send you a prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. And he will burn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Or else I'm going to come and strike the land with a curse. You see, in the Old Testament, in the book of Acts, God declares that there's going to be a prophetic ending. This is his plan. God has a plan. And this is his plan. God seems to give enough warning to the nation so that it would turn towards him. He does things within a nation, just like he did with Israel. And he raised up a prophet. And he does enough to let the nation know that they're in danger. He gives people a moment that they might be able to call out and reach out to as many as they can to ask them to return to the Lord. He gives them a reprieve, if you will. The Spirit's going to be poured out on sons and your daughters, upon all flesh, he says, for that purpose. The reason for this series on Elijah, which I spent so much time on in this last parts of my ministry here, is basically I realize that this same prophetic ministry is needed in the hour we live in. It is needed for our hearts and our lives. And Elijah, he's supposed to come near the end of the day, his spirit, and we're living in that day. And Elijah becomes our model. One of the results of this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, of course, is a great boldness to speak prophetic speech, to speak as though you're speaking the oracles of God. Now, why is this so extremely important for us? Because Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, for the time will come, and I say it's come even now, that when men will not put up with sound doctrine. This means you'll not be able to call sin, sin. You'll no longer be able to say that. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them legislators, judges, gather around them, vote them in, if you will, a great number of teachers, those who have set the standards, and to say what their itchy ears want to hear. It's the hour we're living in. And governments or politics can never solve spiritual problems. We hope that political decisions will open a window to make America return to what made America great before. In the first place, we were made great because we were a Christian nation. America must return. The question always comes, how much of God does America, how much of God does the church want today? That's the question. And just as Elijah, his protege, Elisha, was tested to see if he would stay with Elijah, we will be tested to see if we want a double anointing. Are we looking for a double anointing, more than we have now? Will we want that double anointing? The question for the prophet or the prophetic church or the nation is, how much God do we really want? In 2 Kings, I'm going to read a few verses. It says in verse number chapter 2, verse number 1, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal, and Elijah said to Elijah, "You just stay here. The Lord's going to send me to Bethel." But Elijah said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So he went down to Bethel with him, and a company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" Elisha said, "I know. Yeah, I do know." You see, when God does something, he reveals it to his prophet. So Elisha said, "But do not speak of it." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha, and the Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho, and the company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord's going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "but do not speak of it." And Elijah said, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. We find many examples in the scriptures that seem to indicate that our faith will determine our destiny. Our faith determines what our destiny is going to be. We find it in the Old Testament with Caleb and Joshua. Many of the people said no, but they said, "Let's go for it." The other 10 spies said, "We seem like grasshoppers." There was a lack of faith, and it sealed their destiny. In 2 Kings chapter 2, Elisha knows that Elijah is going to be taken. But he shows why Elijah chose him. He reveals why Elijah chose Elisha. He could have chosen the prophets, any one of them from the school of the prophets. That Bethel, Jericho, any of them. But he chooses a man that's plowing a field. And Elijah was looking for a particular quality. And Elijah saw something in Elisha, and he tested it 3 times. And he saw that within him there was a determination to get all that he could get from God. He wanted more. He wanted that double portion. "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." And Elisha saw in Elijah something he wanted. There was an anointing that was on Elijah. And Elisha said, "I'm not going to let Elijah out of my sight." He wouldn't take no for an answer. Amen. So he didn't take his eyes off of Elijah. He knew that Elijah was leaving, but he wasn't going to take a chance of letting Elijah slip out of his sight. He was focused. The prophetic church must be focused. We must be persistent in our attendance together, not forsaking the gathering together of ourselves as the end times come. We must be focused on our attendance, not wanting to miss with God. We don't want to miss anything that God has for us, especially in these last days. And we must be full of faith, not full of excuses why we don't come. Full of faith. And we don't look to the right. We don't look to the left. We're not focusing on Democratic or being Republican. It's not a political battle. It's a spiritual battle we're in. We cannot give up. We have to wrestle with angels to get the blessing. We are fighting for the kingdom. It seems that Elijah saw this characteristic inside of this young man, Elisha. Maybe he didn't see it in the other prophets. There were many prophets in those days. God's not looking for people with a high IQ or one cultured in the fineries of life. He is like the military. He's looking for a few good men and a few good women. I didn't hear any Marine calls out there. Hey! There we go. He's looking for a man or a woman who has the capacity to want more of God. Something within inside them, a hunger for desiring more. Some of us say we want more, but the cares of this life come and they choke out this desire and hunger for God. We've all seen people start on the highway of faith and end up derailed on the highway of hell. I think that's a song. I don't know it, but I know there's a highway to hell. And some people start on the right highway and end up on the wrong place. They simply give up on God. You can be sure that when you're seeking God, obstacles are going to appear in your way. Whenever you set your heart towards God, something's going to happen. Some of them come from Satan. Some of them actually come from God. Not every obstacle is of the devil. The Lord disciplines those who loves him. And discipline can become an obstacle to those who are used to getting their own way. You've got to have your own way. It can become an obstacle for you. But when the road gets tough, that's when the tough get going. My boys, when we went through the School of Missions, they sang that song. All the MKs had to sing it. Like, you saw the choir up here, the kids would get up, and all the little kids that were going on the mission field with their parents, they got up and they sang, "I'm rough, I'm tough, I got the stuff. I'm young, I'm old, completely sold to tell the story that must be told. I'm going over, how about you?" You see, Christianity is really not for sissies. We need to make a determination that no matter what, we're going to follow Jesus. No matter what obstacles come in our way, we're going to follow Jesus. No matter what it is. Now, we all want revival, but we don't want anything to ruffle our feathers. We don't want to get people upset. And too many of us, honestly, are too comfortable about having this pious Sunday morning feeling. We just want to feel good for at least one day. So let's come to church and feel good. And then when we come to church, we feel like we've done our duty. We need something to stir up our passion. Stir up our passion. If the church is going to survive and affect this nation, we have to seek God. We need more of God. We need to be persistent in our faith. See, America seems to have lost its way. I don't understand it. I can't understand it anymore. It seems like there's no reason involved, but people have forgotten God and they don't want anything to do with him. The church has to lead the way. We must lead the way. We must be determined to follow the God of the Bible, to make this our goal. When push comes to shove, this becomes a test. Are we willing to follow, or do we go our own way, or do we submit to his way? It's a test. Remember the two men that were on the road to Emmaus? They were on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus is just resurrected, and Jesus appears to them, and he acts like he's going to go a little farther, and they're walking with him, and he pretends like he's going to go farther, and they urge Jesus, "Stay with us." And in Luke 24:28, it says that they approached the village to which they were going. Jesus acted as if he was going to go further, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us." He urged strongly. They compelled him. He acted like he was going to go further. And they turned him and brought him back. This root word implies that they forced him to stay. That's exactly what Jesus wanted. He wanted to see their heart. He was testing them to see whether or not they would compel him or let him go on. Moses pleaded with God, "Let's not destroy these people," even though they turned back. God says, "I'm going to destroy them and I'll raise up a whole new group of people." Moses said, "Please, don't." He says in Deuteronomy 9:26, "O sovereign Lord, do not destroy your people, your own inheritance that you redeemed by your great power and brought out of Egypt with a mighty hand." Moses is passionately seeking God. And this is really what God wanted Moses to do. He wants us to be passionately seeking him for the souls of men and women. Passionately seeking. God wants to be pursued. And when you don't give up, when an obstacle is in your way, but you overcome it, it pleases God. God is happy with that. And Elisha would not let Elijah out of his sight. The prophetic church, no matter what the obstacles placed before, whether it's a government regulation, documentation of aliens, or personal sins, the prophetic church will not let anything quench its desire to seek God. Elisha, he said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. He wanted what he saw in Elijah. Elisha saw something. He wanted this double portion. Maybe because he was the firstborn, because the firstborn always got a double portion. Maybe because he was the first chosen among all the other prophets that Elijah could have chosen. Whatever it was, he wanted more of God. It was a desire, a hunger for more of God. How much of a revival do we really want? How much of God are we really looking for? How much do we want in our hearts? Now, I want us to notice something here. Sometimes we feel God only uses church members. Notice Elijah didn't choose one of the prophets from the school of prophets. Did you notice that? He was plowing a field. Why didn't he choose someone who was from the school of the prophets? He didn't. He chose an ordinary person out there in the field. There were plenty of prophets. Obadiah was hiding 100 of them. You know that these prophets hoped that they would take Elijah's place. I'm sure there are a lot of pastors that want to take my place as Bethany senior pastor. All of these in the school of prophets hoped Elijah would pick one of them. And yet he chooses Elisha. The most impressive thing is that the school of prophets, they acknowledge that Elisha was Elijah's choice and successor. That's impressive to me. The school of the prophets recognize this. God is looking for men and women who will support the sovereign will of the Holy Spirit. Even if they're disappointed in his choice, that's a good place for an amen. Everybody knew Elijah was leaving. He's going to be transported to heaven. In 2 Kings chapter 2, the company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master today?" And he says, "I know, don't speak about it." And then he talks and says, well, in 2 Kings, you know these prophets from Jericho, they said the same thing. The prophets from Bethel, the prophets from Jericho, they all said it. And Elijah said to Elisha, "You stay here." He says, "No, I'm not. I'm going with you." When he got to Jericho, he says, "Stay here, Elisha. Stay here, Elisha." And he says, "No, I'm not. I'm going with you." And then when he went to Jordan, Elijah said, "Stay here," to Elisha. And Elijah says, "No, I'm not leaving you." Elisha was not going to leave Elijah's side. The prophetic church has to mirror this kind of determination. We want the double anointing. We want the outpouring of the Spirit. We have to have that determination. And we are going to be tested to see if our hearts really do want more of God. Elisha could have said, "I showed Elijah at Bethel that I was determined to stay with him, but when he goes to Jericho, let him go." But he didn't. And Bethany will be tested. Will we be determined to have this bold witness? Will we be determined to embrace this prophetic ending that God has promised in his Bible? Will we embrace it? Will we say yes? But saying yes isn't always that easy. If you notice, the company of prophets asked Elisha several times if he knew that his master was going to be taken. Even Elijah continues to test Elisha. "Stay here, stay here, stay here." Elisha proves he's not going to leave the side of this prophet. He showed he wanted something from Elijah more than anything else. See, there's a price the prophetic church will have to pay if they want more of God. How far are we willing to go? How far will we go for that greater anointing? Bethany has a greater anointing in its history. a greater anointing in your life? Are we willing to forgive people completely? On Wednesday night, we talked about the power of forgiveness. If we are not willing to forgive people, we are the ones who will be held captive. We will not be free. We will be tormented. We will never allow the free-flowing anointing that God wants to give us if we cannot forgive. Are we willing to submit ourselves one to another through the working of the Holy Spirit? These are questions that are going to come up as we begin to move closer and closer to God. In America, churches, we stand and we make commitments to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We say the same thing that Elijah says, until something happens that we don't like. And when something happens, we revoke our commitment. We cannot do this. We must become like Elijah. Never. I will not leave the promise that you have given to us of a prophetic outpouring of your Spirit. You promised it to us. I'm not turning back. I'm Pentecostal. I'm going forward. But sometime in today's churches, we get a feeling on Sunday and we commit to follow Jesus, but on Monday we stop following and maybe we even never show up again. God wants to know, how far are we willing to go? That's a question he's asking. It's a question he's asking the prophetic church in the last days. How far are you willing to go? See, the prophetic church, like the prophet Elisha, is going to be tested to see if we really want more of God. Are we going to say, I will not leave this promise that you've given to us. I will follow. I will go together with you. And then Elisha does something that's marvelous. When he takes over, he anoints Jehu as the king. Ahaziah, Jezebel's son, and Joram pass off the scene. Elijah, he anoints Jehu as king. Because Jehu is not from a kingly family. He's a warrior. And he anoints him as king, a warrior. It's not sophisticated, a warrior. And he anoints him, why? To go and destroy Jezebel, to destroy the prophets of Baal, to destroy the religion of Baal, to tear the temples down, to destroy it. So he chooses Jehu, who is a warrior, and he anoints him to go forward. And it provides a window to combat the moral and spiritual decline that's happened in Israel. There's a window there. How many know we have a window with the president we have right now? There's a window that we have at this moment. And he's a warrior. There's a window for the church to rise up. And that's what happens in Elijah's day. We see Elijah comes, he anoints Jehu, and he goes in, destroys all of the things of Baal to get rid of this ancient, whatever it is that's coming into the church or into the world's religion. He destroys it. And Jehu was able to slow the descent of the nation. But the problem is the nation of Israel had gone too far. And the nation of Israel doesn't completely return to God. They no longer worship Baal, but they turn and they begin to worship the golden calf. Jeroboam comes and he brings in the worship that is something that is culturally understandable to the Israelites, because when they left Egypt, they brought the golden calf and they followed it. It was culturally relevant. Baal came from Phoenicia, or came, and it was totally different than religious of Israel, but not the golden calf. The golden calf was culturally acceptable. And what happens is that Israel does things that becomes culturally acceptable. And it says in 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 30 and 31, The Lord said to Jehu, because you have done well in accomplishing what is right in my eyes, and you have done to the house of Ahab and all I had in mind to do, your descendants will sit on the throne of Israel to the fourth generation. Yet Jehu was not careful to keep the law of the Lord, the God of Israel, with all his heart. He did not turn away from the sins of Jeroboam, which had caused Israel to commit sin. The golden calf, they began to worship it. They no longer worshiped Baal, but they turned to worshiping the golden calf. You see, we are in a dangerous situation in America. There is such sin, there is such a moral decline, that we have a window right now, and the church needs the spirit of Elijah to rise upon us with a boldness of prophetic speech to reach those that can be reached, because we know that the end comes. America may not stand like the America in the 16th and 17th hundreds, because it is culturally has gone so far. We have a window of opportunity as a church to truly do what God wants us to do. We must resist the temptation to be silent, to do things that are culturally acceptable. But we must become prophetic people anointed by the Spirit that speak God's word with power. Father, we thank you for this message that encourages our hearts through your will. We ask that you help us all to turn and become so on fire for you, Lord, that the people around us would recognize there is something different about these people. That this fire that comes from our bones because of the Spirit compels us to do more than we've ever done before as a church, as a body of believers. We ask it in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, so that we might be part of this great promise of a prophetic outpouring in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. God's got a great plan for each and every one of us. He loves us. He knows our weaknesses. But he's given to us the earnest of our inheritance, the promise, the Holy Spirit. And it will cause us to do more than we've ever done before. This church has a great history, but it's just begun its work. For such a time as this, Bethany Assembly of God has come to rise up as a prophetic voice in a world that's collapsing around us, to call those to come to the Lord. I don't know if you're right with the Lord today. I would say most of you probably know Jesus, but just in case, there might be one of you that doesn't know Christ, but you'd like to ask Jesus to come into your heart because you want to become part of this move of God that's going to take place in the end of times which we're living in. And you say, Pastor, I need to ask Christ just to forgive you of my sins and come into my life. If that's you, quickly raise your hand and I'm going to pray for you. Anybody here like that? Quickly. Anybody? Quickly? Anybody? I'm looking. Now, I know that all of you here, then, you heard this message. You've heard the cry of my heart about the prophetic. I believe that you, each and every one of you, it's not just the pastors. It's all of us. It's all of us. We're all part of this body. And all of us are going to have to take steps where we don't no longer are going to be silent. Because that's what the culture wants us to be. Silent. Stay in your four walls. Don't say anything. Be culturally acceptable. Maybe you don't have to do the Baal thing and worship and destroy babies, but be culturally acceptable. I say no. Jesus. No. Jesus. No. Jesus. Jesus. If you will stand with me and say, Lord, that's what I want. I want you to help me. Help me, Lord, to speak as I should speak, to walk as I should walk, to live as I should live, to dream even thoughts that come from you. Help me to be molded. Help me to be the kind of Christian that follows. Help me to be that bold witness in my life to my family and my friends. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Shake hands with 19 people before you go. God bless you.
We hope you were inspired by this message from God's Word. If you were, would you take a moment to rate and review this podcast? That will help us better be able to reach more people with this important message. For more information about Bethany Assembly of God or how to have a relationship with God, visit www.bethany-ag.org. 10,000 may fall, but we will remain.
White like lightning. from the dead we've come.